Okay, before we're learning about Hanukkah, we're learning the Dinim of Pinyan HaBen, redeeming the firstborn. We said that the obligation is on the father. If the father doesn't do it, the mother's not obligated to redeem the firstborn. But if the father doesn't do it, then the child, when they become bar mitzvah, has an obligation to redeem himself. Now, the din is a kohen or a levi, if they have a child, they don't need to do a pinyan haben. Not only that, if the mother of the baby is a bas kohen or a bas levi, she also doesn't have to do pinyan haben, because pinyan haben is really dependent on the mother. It's the firstborn of the womb, peterechem. So therefore the halacha is that if the mother is also a bas levi or a bas kohen, they also don't need to do a pinyan haben. So yeah, the truth of the matter is you don't have pinyan haben that often. Because if a girl is born first, there's no pinyan haben. If the firstborn is cesarean, there's no pinyan haben, even if the second one is born natural, we learned. If the father is a kohen or a levi, no pinyan haben. If the mother is a bas kohen or bas levi, there's no pinyan haben. Now, what happens if a woman has a baby from a non-Jewish father? Either out of wedlock, or a Jewish woman is married to a guy. So the din is the baby needs a pinyan haben, because again it's up to the mother. It's the firstborn from the mother. Now the question is, who does the pinyan haben? Because the father's a guy, he's not going to do. He's not obligated to do, and he's not going to do a pinyan haben. So according to Halacha Beis Din, that means the community has an obligation to do a pinyan haben. The rabbi, whoever it is, should do a pinyan haben on the baby. And if not, then when the kid becomes, if it wasn't done, then the din is when the kid becomes bar mitzvah, so then he has to do a pinyan haben for himself. Now what happens though, if the mother was a bas kohen, and a guy lived with her, and had a baby? So that baby does need a pinyan haben. If it's the mother is a bas levi, and she has a baby from a goy, the kid does not need a pinyan haben. But if it's the daughter of a kohen that had lived with a goy and had a baby, and it's the firstborn, they do have to do a pinyan haben. Why? She's a bas kohen, but the din is because she became desecrated from the kohuna. Because she lived with the guy, so she's not a bas kohen anymore. If she's not a bas kohen, she's like a regular Jewish woman, and the Jewish woman from a guy needs a pinyan haben.
What if it was within? If she had this relation before, and only later had a child with a Jewish husband, does she still retain the status?
The bas kohen?
Yeah.
No, she's not the. Yeah.
So that baby needs a pinyan
haben. That baby would need a pinyan haben. Yeah. What?
Why a bas levi not?
Because she's not a bas levi, that doesn't become mechulal, doesn't become desecrated from leviyah by having relations with a guy. Bas kohen does. As leviyah michalelas. So therefore she becomes basically for practical purposes a non kohen. Now, what happens? The weird cases used to come up in the olden times. They're going to come out too now. There's a shy like this. A woman had a baby, and she says, I don't know if the guy was a kohen or not. Maybe it was a kohen, maybe it was a levi, I don't know, maybe. Jewish man, Jewish woman, I don't know who he was. So there's an opinion in halacha that says that you don't have to do a pinyan haben. Why? Because it's a doubt. It's a doubt. In other words, bottom line is like this. The kohen wants money from you. There's a rule in halacha, hametzi mechaveiray olav araya. The Gemara says the rule. It's all over Torah, Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. If I want to extract money from you, the burden of proof is on me. If I say you owe me $1,000, I have the burden of proof, not you, to defend it. Now, pinyan haben basically means you're paying the kohen five grams of silver, 5 shekels. Now, the woman says, you know what, maybe the baby's, the father's a kohen or a levi. So who's the burden of proof on? on the Kohen. Yeah, so therefore, so there's an opinion that says you don't have to do opinion of Ben. And he explains, even though the majority of people are not a Kohen, so, but he says, nevertheless, there's a rule, and Helchem B'mam and Achar Arav, by non-monetary things, it'll go by majority. That's the halacha. To extract money, majority is not enough. You need to actually have definite proof to extract money. So therefore he says, even though the majority is not Kohanim, so which would mean Mistama, most probably the woman was with a non-Kohen, which would demand opinion of Ben, but you don't go by, and many poskim disagree with him, and they say, there's a tesis in Sanhedrin that says that it's not the 75-25%. It's like a 98% chance versus a 2%. What's the population of Kayanim? So many opinions disagree with him. They hold that you do have to do opinion of Ben. Some people say you should do it without a bracha because you doubt, but you have to do opinion of Ben. Okay, next is like this. Now, this is a very common problem, which is very, very complicated, and I'm just keying the general rules because every detail, every situation has to be judged individually. A woman had a miscarriage. And then afterwards, she gave birth to a healthy baby. Does that second baby need opinion of Ben? Don't go like this. No, it's not right. If you go like this, you're right. And if you go like this, you're right. Because it depends what the scenario is. There's a big argument in halacha. There are opinions that hold that if the first baby, the first fetus, had what's called rikum evarim means a formation of limbs. That means the baby came out with a shape, with limbs, you know, it might have not been a normal baby, but so then many opinions say the second baby does not need opinion of Ben because that was the first birth. That's called a birth. Some people say no. Some poskim write, after 40 days, if the miscarriage happened after 40 days of conception, it's questionable if you need opinion on Ben. Less than 40 days, I mean, the woman was pregnant three weeks, and she, or 4 weeks even, it's not 40 days, and she miscarried, the second baby for sure needs opinion of Ben. But some poskim, that's basically most of the time, the halacha, but again, every case is judged individually. That if a woman had a miscarriage after 40 days, many times the halacha is they would do opinion of Ben without a bracha. They would do opinion of Ben without a bracha, because it's a suffix. We don't know what the definition of that firstborn child is. What?
It has to be a petrelecha, and it wasn't a petrelecha.
It was. It came out of the uterus. A miscarriage. That's why Lamashal, coming to the next zone that we mentioned briefly before, if a woman had a cesarean C-section, so then that baby doesn't need opinion of Ben. Why? Because it's not peter echem. It's not coming out of the womb. It's coming out of the stomach. The Torah says peter echemli. It has to be if. Now, not only that, halacha takes it a step further. What happens if the woman's first child was born cesarean, and the second child was born naturally? So now the second child is the firstborn from the womb, but nevertheless, it still doesn't need opinion of Ben. Why? Because it's not the firstborn. In other words, you need two criteria to make it opinion of Ben. Number one, firstborn male. And secondly, natural birth. But if the firstborn is cesarean, so then that child doesn't need because it's not first in the womb. The second child doesn't need because it's not the first child. And therefore, in both that cases, I know a lot of situations like that. Both the kids didn't have opinion of it.
Does the second child now enjoy the firstborn wife?
No, the first one does. Generally speaking.
Inheritance or anything?
Yeah, generally speaking. Inheritance has nothing to do with the womb. No, really. Inheritance, firstborn is the firstborn from the father. I'll give you another example. What happens? Years ago, guys had a bunch of wives. Yeah? So, if a guy, let's say, was married to three wives, Yaakov Avinu, he had four wives, yeah? So now, his first child would be firstborn for inheritance. Even though there's firstborn from each of the wives. Okay. But if, let's say, in case of Yaakov Avinu, yeah?
First son.
Huh?
First son.
What did I say? Yeah, yeah.
First child.
First son. You're right.
So
first
they have
son.
Daughters first.
No, it's not.
The son is the one that gets married.
Correct. The son only has a din of a firstborn when he's the first child. If the girl's the first child, he doesn't fast and Erev Pesach, you know, all that stuff. Now, what happens if Yaakov Avinu had Reuven from Leah, Yosef from Rachel, and then Bilhah and Zilpah? You know, those Don Naftali God Asher kids, right? So then he would need four Pinyan Abens. The one father has to do four Pinyan Abens. Because even though only one is his firstborn, but each one is a firstborn to the mother. And if they were born naturally, which Shvatim probably were, so then they would have to do four Pinyan Abens. So firstborn, as far as, you know, Pinyan Aben, it depends on the firstborn to the mother's womb, and not if it's cesarean. Okay, next is like this. That's basically... Okay, we mentioned that case. Sometimes you can have a scenario that a Pinyan Aben could be before the bris. The bris is delayed. Okay, sometimes the bris could delay for 5-6 weeks. And the babies are firstborn, right? So it doesn't matter if it's yellow or jaundice or whatever other illness thing it has. You have to do a pinyan aben on the baby. So first you do a pinyan aben, and then you do the bismillah whenever the time comes. If it's the same day, you're doing both. The pinyan aben is on the 30th day, and the bris is on the 30th day. So then most poskim say you do the bris first, and then the pinyan aben. Now, when you do a pinyan aben, let's just discuss a little bit about the procedure of a pinyan aben. Now, halachically, the baby belongs to the kohen. Okay, so the father comes with the baby, and usually they put jewelry on the tray, and they put sugar and garlic, a whole bunch of spiritual stuff they put on the tray. They bring the baby in. The father says to the kohen, "My wife gave birth to her firstborn baby. And the Torah says, I have an obligation to redeem the baby." So the Kohen says to him, basically, what do you want more? Your baby or the 5 shekels that you shkolim that you have to give me? The father answers, no, I want to give the 5 shkolim, and here they are. And he makes the bracha before he gives the Kohen the money, because once you have to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. And then the father makes a bracha, pinyan aben, and shechyonu, and then he drops the money into the kohen's hand, and the kohen... Now, we mentioned in the past, what happens if the father says, keep the baby? I don't want the baby. He's a Jew, and he wants to save 5 shekels. You know, the price of silver, you need 103 grams. How much is 103 grams today, Mendel? Huh? $65. No... You know, I don't want to say, but Jack Benny, your money or your life, right? So some Jews, so halacha is what happens if the father says to the kohen, kohen, keep the kid, you're not allowed to do that. You have a mitzvah to be pinyan aben. Even though technically the kid belongs, and that's the reason why you have to do a pinyan aben on the 30th day, because until then, the baby does not have a chazaka of being alive. So again, the kohen would have to prove that the kid is going to be alive for 30 days, and we don't know. So, after 30 days. And in fact, even if a kid, there's an interesting show, what happens if a kid is put into an incubator? You know, he's premature, so when do you count the 30 days? Do you count it from, let's say he's born a month early, okay? Do you wait until a month from after the real birth, or when the birth was supposed to be, because the kid's now staying alive in the incubator? So the poskim discuss this. Whatever, if it happens, you have to ask at the shiloh what happens there. Okay.